So I've been reading this piece by Abhijit Patil, and honestly, there's one thing that completely caught me off guard.
The $15?
The $15. But we'll get there. It's part one of a series on building enterprise AI. The title is Why Your Enterprise Needs Its Own LLM and Why It Costs Less Than You Think.
Yes. When I first read it, I thought, okay, another thought piece on enterprise AI. But no, Abhijit actually went and built the thing. Months of hands-on work, fine-tuning a small language model for a specific industry.
That's what makes it stand out, right? He took a 7 billion parameter open weight model, fine-tuned it for a single domain.
And?
95% accuracy on a 62 scenario evaluation suite. Near zero hallucinations. And here's the kicker. Each training run cost about $15.
$15. We are absolutely coming back to that. But first, Abhijit sets the stage by talking about the agentic AI storm. Boardrooms, earnings calls, government briefings. AGI conversations are everywhere now.
Right, and he doesn't get lost in the hype. His point is that most enterprises are stuck. He cites McKinsey report. 88% of organizations are using AI in at least one function.
But
nearly two-thirds haven't scaled it. Everyone's experimenting. Nobody's deploying at scale.
That makes sense. And he pinpoints exactly where it breaks down. The finance office, you walk in excited about AI and the CFO says, show me the ROI.
And you know what? That's the part that resonated with me. Abhijit says, you need to walk in and say something specific. We'll reduce handling time by 40%, deflect 30% of tickets. The model pays for itself in 4 months.
General purpose models can't deliver that kind of quantifiable value, though.
They really can't. And then there's the data sovereignty problem, which is massive.
How massive?
IBM's Global AI Adoption Index report found that data privacy is the number one barrier to enterprise AI adoption, cited by 57% of organizations. Your enterprise data can't always be shipped off to a third-party API. You need control.
Okay, so that's the business case. But here's where the article gets really creative. He makes this analogy to a TV show called Pluribus on Apple TV.
Oh, this was one of my favorite parts. He really likes the metaphors. So Pluribus is a show where humanity merges into a shared consciousness. Everyone knows everything. Sounds utopian, right?
But there's this character, Carol, who pushes back. When everybody thinks as one, nobody thinks for themselves. You lose individuality. You lose deep expertise. There is no distinction.
And honestly, Abhijit maps that directly onto foundation models. Claude, GPT, Gemini. They're extraordinary, but they're one mind trained on everything. Just like only a few individuals running the show.
Yes, depth gets sacrificed for breadth.
Exactly. Specialization gets dissolved into generalization. And then he follows that up with this Lao Tzu quote. Classic Abhijit.
Oh, that one really stuck with me. To know that you do not know is the best. To think you know when you do not is a disease.
And that's the hallucination problem right there. The model thinks it knows your industry. It doesn't. But it'll answer anyway, confidently, fluently, and just wrong.
He also draws this sharp line between RAG and fine-tuning that I thought was really clarifying.
Yeah, so his analogy is that RAG is like handing someone a stack of reference books. They can look things up, but they're still generalists reading the material for the first time on every request.
And fine-tuning?
He equates that to muscle memory. The model has internalized the specialized knowledge. It doesn't need to look it up. Does that distinction make sense to you?
That distinction alone is worth the read. Then he gets into the specialist argument with this great analogy about doctors and plumbers.
Right. Why does my doctor need to know how to fix a windmill? Why does my plumber need to know Shakespeare? We don't expect this of humans.
So why do we accept that trade-off in AI?
That's exactly his point. And he backs it up. DeepSeek's distilled 7B model scored 92.8% on Math 500.
And?
Popular GPT-4, Oatake's 74.6, a focused 7 billion parameter model beating one of the biggest models out there. Small language models work.
That blew my mind.
Scale is not destiny. That's what Abhijit keeps driving home, especially for enterprise use cases. When focus and data quality are right, a small model can punch way above its weight class.
There's also this section on overqualification that I thought was brilliant. He makes this parallel between overqualified job candidates and overfitting in machine learning.
Picture a candidate with 3 PhDs, 15 years across 6 industries. On paper, the most qualified person in the room. In practice, they underperform because their knowledge is spread too thin.
And Abhijit's line here is perfect. He says overqualified personnel and overfitting of models are probably the same term.
Both cases, too much broad knowledge applied to a narrow problem. That's such a clean insight. All right, let's get into the experiment itself, because this is where it gets really real.
Yes, the four phases.
The four phases, and the first one is humbling. Phase one, everything was broken. Accuracy between 0 and 50%. The model hallucinated constantly.
So what changed?
Phase two. This is where the biggest lesson hits. He calls it the data quality reckoning. He thought he had over 5,000 training examples.
Thought?
He ran deduplication and discovered that 77% of his data was duplicated.
Wait, 77%? So his 5,000 examples were really about 1,000 unique ones.
Roughly 1,000, yeah. And he says it was a gut punch. But it taught him the most important lesson of the entire project. Data quality dominates data quantity every single time.
Then phase three, which he calls the overfitting trap.
Okay, so for listeners who aren't deep in the weeds, LoRa rank controls how much the model can adapt during fine-tuning. He had it set to 384, and at that level, the model was memorizing instead of learning.
So basically, the model was cramming for a test instead of actually understanding the material.
Exactly. He dropped it from 384 down to 64, and suddenly the model started generalizing. It could handle scenarios it had never seen before.
And then phase four, production. This is the $15 moment.
Clora on a single GPU, 4 iterative training cycles, about $15 per run with roughly 1,000 training examples.
And where did he deploy it?
Amazon Bedrock. He probably used SageMaker for the training side, but we'll learn more about that in the upcoming articles.
And the results?
95% accuracy, near zero hallucinations, all with a 7 billion parameter model.
Now, to be fair, production workloads with bigger datasets will cost more than $15 a run, but the order of magnitude is still way below what most enterprise leaders expect, right?
And that's the real takeaway. We're not talking millions. Clora has genuinely changed the economics. The infrastructure barrier that people imagine, it's just not there anymore.
So let me try to sum up his key takeaways. Data quality over quantity. Watch the LoRa rank trap. The economics are already accessible. Iterate relentlessly. He went through 4 cycles.
And this one's important.
General purpose and fine-tuned models are complements, not competitors.
That last point really ties the whole piece together. He's not saying, throw away your Claude or GPT subscription. Frontier models are extraordinary for general tasks. But for domain-specific production quality AI, you need a specialist. They work best together.
So what's coming in part two? Because Abhijit has been pretty mysterious about which industry he actually built this for.
He drops a hint at the end. It's a customer-facing industry, highly regarded for brand value. Think loyalty programs, brand signature, consistency of guest experience.
Guest experience. I have my guesses, but I'm keeping them to myself for now.
Part two is going to go deep on the specific domain, the dataset construction, and the full evaluation framework. Honestly, if part one is this good, part two is going to be something else.
Cannot wait. That is it for this episode of Agentic Coders. If what Abhijit is building resonates with you, share this with your team and check out the full article on agenticcoders.dev. We will see you in part two.
See you next time.